The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
What's up? Back. I'm keeping it real, Jairus McIntyre. Had a lovely weekend of good football in the football world, college, pro. A lot of big games, some upsets, but it was a great weekend of football. Not the big games like we had in college football last week, but there were some good games. First, I want to introduce my special guest today, former NFL receiver, Chris Hannon. What's going on, Chris?
What's going on, man?
You all right?
I'm good.
That's what's up. I just want to, holler at you about some things, man. I ain't talked to you in a minute. I know you were up in Baltimore, recently or whatnot. But at first, I kind of wanted to ask you about your college career at Tennessee. For my listeners, Chris Hannon was, one of the top receivers at Tennessee at the time when Philip Fulmer was there. Had a pretty good career at Tennessee and went on to play for the Chiefs, the Lions, the Panthers, the 49ers, the Ravens, and all those things. But I kind of first wanted to ask you, Chris, playing at Tennessee, all that orange, all that tradition with a great coach and everything like that, how was your experience at Tennessee?
My experience is good. I had a good time. The city was crazy. The atmosphere during game day was crazy, and I had a very good time out there. It's the SEC. You can't get no better than that in college football. So
definitely. And with that being said, you're from Sarasota, Florida, and I'm from Tampa. And, y'all think y'all got them ballers over there in Sarasota or whatnot.
Right.
But how did you get all the way up to Tennessee from Sarasota? I know they recruit Florida, but how did you get out of the state when we had, schools like Florida, Florida State, Miami, and all these schools like this? How did you get out of the state of Florida with the talent that you had? How did they let you out of state, or did you kind of want to get away from home?
No, that was never the plan. I never wanted to leave the state. I'm a fan of this state. I love my state, But at the time, my top choices was Florida, Miami, Tennessee, and Steve Spurrier, he left that year, so I didn't know what direction the program was going. By the time I turned to Miami, they had like four receivers that committed. And Tennessee just kept, coming at me like I was like the only recruit they wanted. So they did a real good job on recruiting. And then, once Philip Fulmer sit down with your family, he gets your family, and that's a wrap. It's like Tennessee, your family versus you. So everybody drawing you towards Tennessee, so chose Tennessee.
Man, yeah, you were a quarterback in high school. Did they already tell you that they were going to convert you to a wide receiver, or did you already know that you were going to play? Did you think you were going to play quarterback, or did they already kind of tell you that you were going to be a wide receiver when you went up there?
Well, I told them I would play wide receiver, and I had went up to a camp like the year before, and I ran like a 4.38, I did some receiver things. And the thing was, we had Chris Leak up there during the camp, and he was like, man, you need to come. I'll be quarterback. You play receiver. So I was like, that's cool, because, during the camp time, I was the only person he was throwing to. So I was like, man, I can come here, ball. And like 2 years later, they messed his brother up at the program. He chose Florida, so I started.
Yeah, and I know it was, it had some big games for Tennessee. And I can remember my senior year, we played Joliet, Casey Clawson, and y'all came in pretty ranked pretty high to Jarrett-Hare Stadium, Auburn night game. But you had a pretty big game. Can you remember that game?
Yeah, I remember the game. I didn't start that game. I started every game after that, but I didn't start that game. And a lot of receivers was getting shook because, I mean, they DBs. Y'all have some real good DBs, and they was playing that press coverage. So to beat y'all DBs, you needed speed, and I was the fastest guy there. So coach threw me in there, and I think I went for like 100 against y'all. So, I mean, and that was like my height game of my college career. So I had fun against y'all.
Did y'all win?
No, we didn't win.
Yeah, you know how to you kind of rub that in a little bit, man. But, yeah, I do remember that. I remember you come across, you caught a lot of dig routes, used that size and that speed, and I was like, man, we got to put somebody on this dude before he go off for real and we end up losing this game. Yeah, but I remember that vividly. So after your Tennessee career, well, obviously I was in Kansas City. After your Tennessee career, you came in as an undrafted free agent to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kind of explain that whole experience from after a pretty stellar college career at Tennessee and I guess probably not working out the way you wanted to on draft day, but still getting an opportunity to come to the Kansas City Chiefs. What was on your mind throughout the draft process from when you went to the combine to after you left the combine to the draft day process and getting an opportunity with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, leaving the SEC, I mean, as a receiver, we really weren't throwing. So it was good for an SEC receiver to have like 30, 40 catches. But my senior year, I had like 18, 19, you know, probably 20 catches. And I got invited to the combine because I got the school record at Tennessee in the 40, 4.27. So they invited me there. And listening to Mel Kiper and all that, I had gained like 10, 15 pounds. And I really couldn't run with it. But I ended up running the 4.4 in the combine. So scouts is telling me, well, we really couldn't get a good look at you because you only had X amount of catches. But, I mean, you ran well, but that was, like, the slowest 40 I ever ran, you know what I'm saying? But came around the draft day, didn't get picked up. Kansas City was called throughout the day during the draft, and they got me up their priority draft, I mean, undrafted free agent. And got up there, and that's where I met you at.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I remember when you coming in, you were looking clean. You had your visor on. You were showing that speed. And I can remember telling you, hey, man, just run fast. You got the size. Just run fast. And you know what you're doing. Run fast and catch the ball. And I know that helped you out. And you stuck around there for a little while. And you still went to a lot of other teams and had a pretty good NFL career. What people don't really kind of know about how it is to be an undrafted free agent and go from this team to the next team. When you have a family, you have kids, and you got to up and leave them, and then you might be right back, and then you go somewhere else. Kind of explain that, because a lot of people don't really realize. They think, okay, the NFL is all glamorous. You're getting the money. You're doing your thing. But for people in the situation you were in to be undrafted and have to grind every day just to stay there, and you all over the place, all over the world, trying to grind to stay in the National Football League, kind of explain to our listeners how that is from that perspective.
Well, I mean, coming from the state of Florida, talent is everywhere. So doing high school football, even down in Little League, the coaches try to put the best people out there on the field, and that's how we raise, you know what I'm saying? That's implanted in our mind, be the best in your play. So, but when you undrafted in the NFL, you on the bottom of that totem pole, you know? Mm-hmm. So anybody drafted in front of you, any receiver or whatever, they going to get the play.
Hello.
Hello.
Ron Mack. You there, Ron Mack?
Yeah, what up, boy?
What's up? What's up?
Not much, man. What's going on?
How you doing? You all right?
I'm fine.
That's
so what
good,
you think about
good,
this weekend, man?
Say it again.
How we do this weekend?
It's tough. It's tough. Close game, but it was tough. I was watching that, and I was about to pull the hair that I don't have out. I know you were there.
I was there.
You were there, and just sitting and watching from the TV, it was tough. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. defense was there running the ball down our throat. Offense wasn't clicking, and I was thinking, like, man, what are we going to do? We got in that ESPN game day. We ranked high. We ranked, you know, pretty high. And they just came and ran the ball down our throat the first series. And I was just like, man. But we came back. We finished strong. We got the victory. Ron, I kind of want your assessment on what you saw, and you saw there firsthand.
Well, it was what you said. It kind of shocked me. You know, they got the ball, and they drove like 78 yards on the first drive and punched it in. I said, oh, man, okay. So, you know, Malzahn, he can bring the boys out, three and out, punt. Our punter is bad, too, now. That punter we got, he I watched a kid from Arkansas kick from the five-yard line and knock Georgia back to about the 32, man. He kicked about a 60-yard punt. Our punter was shanking the punts, man, like unbelievably. 37 yards, average, man, and that's crazy. But,
yeah.
And I watched the first half, and then, you know, went in downstairs, and I was just – that was, you know, when we put the 3 points up, right before halftime, we get the ball back. I said, okay, now we score here, and we'll be in the game. Mm-hmm. And Cam, the receiver was wide open. Cam Newton underthrew the ball. They picked it off. I said, oh, man. But from that point on, they balled out. They balled from that point probably until about midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
When we tied the score up, you know, and then we came back and took the lead, that next drive, we stopped them, and I thought we were going to go up 2 touchdowns. I said, man, they're clicking right now. We're going to go up 2 touchdowns. And I didn't understand. It was like a 3rd and 2, and they ran Cam, you know, and that's fine to run him, but I think they should have just spreaded it out. And if the run presented itself, then he'd take it. You give him the pass option early because you know if it break down, he's going to run.
Absolutely. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, hey, we're going to head to break. We'll be back in a minute to talk a little bit more football.
Internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we got Chris Hannon back, former Tennessee star. Back on the line. We had some technical difficulties, but we back. We're going. We're going good. We're strong. Before he cut off or whatnot, I was talking about the different teams he played for and having to grind and it being an everyday grind to actually stay in the National Football League when you're an undrafted free agent. And he was kind of explaining to us, his journey, his everyday grind, just to stay on, pretty much. So you can start off back where you were, Chris.
Yeah, like I was saying, just coming from Florida, competing in high school, little league, and all that. They basically put the best people out there on the field. So when you don't get drafted in the NFL, you on the bottom of the totem pole. So whoever got drafted in front of you basically get a first look, get that look from the coaches. They kind of like treat them like family. But since you didn't get drafted, you kind of like on the outskirts. You got to do something real magnificent for them to even like look at you. Uh-huh. And when you first get in the league, you got practice squad years. You got 3 years of eligibility for practice squad. And a team can take you off somebody else's practice squad and bring you over, you know what I'm saying, and put you on their practice squad. So on somebody's resume, that's going to look real crazy. Like, dang, how many teams you been on? You know what I'm saying? It seemed like you're just getting cut, but that ain't the situation. It's just that people got the opportunity, other teams got the opportunity to get a look at you and see what they think they can get out of you, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just that grind, you got to grind harder when you're not drafted.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and from being not a high pick, I got drafted, but it's kind of the same predicament. When you're there, you got to grind every day and be spectacular because, let's say, if you're a first, second-round pick, you have leeway, whereas a late rounder or an undrafted free agent, you got to get it every day, like super duper. You got to make a special play every day for them to to even, not necessarily saying notice you, but for them to be like, all right, now he may be that much better than our other guy. And with the team,
at that point, you're just getting that maybe, you know.
Yeah.
First, second rounders, I mean, it's pretty much, that's why they got drafted, to play. And it's pretty much given to them, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. And I know from being around, you know that, like I said, I listed off the Chiefs, the Lions, the Panthers, the 49ers, the Ravens. You were most recently in Baltimore. How was your experience there as far as with playing with Ray Lewis or being around Ray Lewis? Kind of explain to our listeners, because a lot of people see him on TV and see the intensity that he has and that he brings to the game. Kind of, I guess, for our viewers, kind of explain what you saw from Ray Lewis the time you were in Baltimore.
Well, I actually sat next to Ray Lewis during meeting time, you know, during the team meetings and all that, and he's probably the nicest guy that you can ever meet. On the practice field, he take care of his players, so, I mean, he's not hitting nobody like he do in the game. But,
yeah.
I mean, that dude, you're talking about a guy that wakes up in the morning, go work out, go to meetings, come to practice, and give 100%. I mean, running full speed everywhere, every play, you know what I'm saying? He don't look 34 or whatever age they say. He looks really like a 24-year-old out there just balling. And, I mean, football is his passion, and you can feel it. And people around him feed off that energy, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he's one of the realest guys, you know, I haven't met. And I took a lot of things from him, you know, just – Not only as a player, but as a man.
Yeah, he is from Florida, so we always, you know, Florida boys try to always kind of stay together. And with that being said, from one middle linebacker, NFL linebacker great, to another one, I know you were in San Francisco. And the time you were there, I know Mike Singletary, was he the head coach then yet, or was he still the linebacker coach?
Both.
Okay, so he was the head coach. Okay, so you actually got to play under Mike Singletary as well, and he brought the same kind of intensity that Ray Lewis brought to the game. So you kind of been around two of the best linebackers that ever played a game, really, in a 2 or 3 year span. How was he as a coach, and what did you see out of him, and what did you kind of learn from him to take on with life?
Well, Coach Singletary, he's all about respect. I think the media tries to make it seem like he's just Samurai Mike still on the field, and that's how he goes up in the meeting room and just start yelling, but he's not. He's a soft-spoken man. He's all about respect. You respect him, he's going to respect you back. I never heard him cuss. I really never heard him yell. The only time I really heard him yell was when he was trying to get a player from, like, across the field or something. But he's cool. He's all about the game of football. He's, to me, was a player's coach and one of the best coaches I've been around. You know, he's a real guy.
Yeah, and I saw that. I see, you know, you can see the intensity and you can see how much he wants to win. Like you said, he wants respect out of his players, and I mean, that's all you can pretty much ask for, the respect from the players, because you know they're going to play hard if they have respect for you.
Right.
And that's a testament to the, you know, type of coach he is and what he does to help his team. Now, I kind of want to get off of that a little bit. I'm going to kind of slide to Michael Vick. And you were a quarterback, a running quarterback in high school. I guess you kind of throw a little bit. What you think about Michael Vick and this whole Cobb situation? Mike Vick's backballing, looking like the old Vick. Right. What you think about Vick?
I think Vick should be starting, man. I mean, yeah. The people want Vick to start in Philly. The people want Vick to be the man in the NFL. I mean, he should be starting. I think he gained that respect back from fans, players, and everything. And these past two games, I mean, it's just been crazy. This dude is throwing like crazy. This dude is running like the old Vick from Virginia Tech been running. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, he got his mojo back. And I think he should be starting. I mean,
yeah. Well, I think we got a caller in that want to talk about Vick. I think it's Sharon Mack out of Montgomery, Alabama. You there? You there, Ron?
I'm here.
I want you. Now, I know you want to talk about Vick, because we've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks when he got in there and got his feet wet a little bit. What you think about Vick? Should he be out there starting? Is he the Vick of old from Atlanta? What do you think?
I don't think he should be starting. I mean, I think the situation that he went into was perfect for him. He when he got there, he had Donovan to help him. Andy Reid is a quarterback guy. So, you know, you look at him drop back, you look at how fluid he is now compared to when he was back with Atlanta. And I feel like he made himself probably about $40-50 million yesterday. If he don't start another game, a franchise in the league would be a fool to pick a guy coming out of college when Vick is going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and they'll be able to get him for almost $7-8 million a year and not pay the 19 and 16 like they would have paid before he got into all the drama that he got into. So Vick don't have to play another down, and he made about $60 million.
So you think right now today, if the Philadelphia Eagles are trying to win football games, you wouldn't put Michael Vick out there? I know Cobb has won some football games, and I know he did his thing, but the way Michael Vick is running around, he looks precise on what he's doing. I think he understands the offense a little more, the quarterback position a little more than he did when he was in Atlanta. I mean, he looks like a real quarterback, and he's not running just to run. He's running because he has to. I kind of think that would just be tough to keep
but
him
they
off.
Gave,
you know,
they gave the job to Cobb. You can't get rid of one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, Donovan McNabb, then give the job to Cobb and then have Vick take the job. You can't do that. It'll destroy that team. So Vick has to play in the background because this is his final year in Philly. He will be a starting quarterback next year.
And that goes to kind of show what me and Chris talked about earlier in the whole National Football League and how, you know, first rounders is kind of not necessarily saying give. Well, you could probably say give it, or not necessarily given a star position, but given way, way more of an opportunity to produce and be successful than say an undrafted free agent, because in this kind of situation, somebody like Cobb, they gave him the position because they traded Donovan McNabb. So regardless of what he does, the organization made the decision to trade Donovan McNabb and make Cobb the starter. Now, Vick, with this talent and what he's doing and what he showed. I mean, the last two, what, the last six quarters, the last four game and then the second half of the first game, that he's making his case to be the starter for the team and one of the faces of the franchise and the whole NFL the way he was in Atlanta. So it's kind of hard to kind of just keep him on the bench, but I understand exactly what you're saying. They traded, and then again,
like I told a friend of mine yesterday, if you look at the league now, it's hard out there being a African American quarterback. Vince Young got benched. Jason Campbell got benched. You know what I'm saying? Michael Vick played lights out and won't start. Got Tavares Jackson behind Brett Favre coming out of retirement. Ain't never got a shot. So, but you have, you know, your Flaccos, your Sanchez's, your Matt Ryan's. They get when they hit the league, they get leeway. They get that extended line, that extended, you know, opportunity.
Yeah. So you kind of think they make it. If you think it's a National Football League or just in general the perception of an African American quarterback, because I mean it's even went back from even when Warren Moon came out and he had to prove himself in the CFL, or somebody like Randall Cunningham, who I think should probably be in the Hall of Fame just from what he did throughout his career and the way he kind of transformed the quarterback position to the mobile quarterback that they have today that everybody's using. It's kind of started from even way back when. And do you still think it's like that now is what I'm kind of trying to ask you.
Mark, what I'm saying is anytime you have a franchise quarterback, there are only about five or six of them in the league. Okay, you got your Manning, you got your Brady, you know what I'm saying? You got about your Phillip Rivers and your Drew Brees. That's four. Okay. Mm-hmm. Donovan McNabb is probably between the fifth and the seventh best quarterback in the league. Mm-hmm. And he got traded for an unproven guy. He was traded to give an unproven guy a chance.
You're absolutely right. Now I definitely agree with that because if
they'll trade Donovan McNabb, somebody who's a top seven guy in the league, then Vince Young, Jason Campbell, you know, we don't care anything about y'all. Y'all not top.
Hey, we gonna be. We going to break. We gonna be back to talk a little bit more about this situation.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
Here's what's happening this week on The Trail with Jim and Trav.
Troy Gentry of Montgomery Gentry, Brian Schrod with OutdoorTrailsIncome.com, Pagosa Springs' Mark Crane, and Jeff Cook with the musical group Alabama will be our special guest. And we'll be hitting on The Trail with a guy that fainted when he met Slim Whitman. We're talking about those guys from Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center, Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on The Trail.
Super Bowl champ Lionel Dalton is taking to the internet airwaves with his own brand of sports talk. You'll go inside the mind of the players and find out if blacklisting really happens, what their thoughts are on training camps, where the former NFL players are now, and why being drafted by the wrong NFL team can kill a promising player's career. Lionel will also cover what's up with the Baltimore Ravens. Tune in to Sports Talk with Lionel Dalton live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's more than a sports show. Tune in every Friday for End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Tony knows and does it all. Whether it's sports, business, or politics, the discussion all comes to focus in one place. You'll hear from the personalities as well as the everyday people, each bringing their own perspective to the discussion. This is a weekly forum that you'll want to be a part of. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie airs live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other. Keeping It Real. Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans. Keeping It Real. Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we're back, keeping it real. And we were keeping it real before we left. Ron Mack in the Gump. We're kind of talking about the African-American quarterback. We're talking about Michael Vick and his situation. Then we kind of slid to the African-American quarterback. And I played with a pretty good quarterback in Jason Campbell, which is African-American. And he's had some ups and downs in the National Football League. And Ron Mack is saying, I guess, the African-American quarterback, I would say, probably doesn't get a fair deal, or they're on the hook a little quicker than the other quarterbacks in the National Football League. Is that kind of what you're saying?
He gets a shorter leash.
Okay, on a shorter leash. Mm-hmm. So, do you think that goes by the team, or is that just in general? Because it's kind of hard to say. It's kind of for me. It's kind of hard to say. It's everybody. You know, it's everybody. But okay. I mean, you can make your case as far as saying
if it was just about a team, then it would happen to one franchise. You know, you may see, you know, Vince Young got pulled. Okay, they say he's still going to start, but Favre threw three interceptions, Flacco threw four interceptions, and they stayed in the game.
Now
Jason
think
Campbell
that?
Threw two interceptions at halftime, by half, and he got pulled. Okay? He got pulled.
Uh-huh.
Brett Favre turned the ball over in the red zone three times.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and nothing happened. Flacco, like I said, threw four. You have, you know, and it's, everybody can have an off day. And you know, I ain't no, you know, racist or nothing. But what I am, I'm a teller of the truth, and I pay attention. When Matt Ryan came into the league, he threw his share of picks. Sanchez probably threw 23, 25 picks last year. They made it to the playoffs. You know, they protected him with the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jason Campbell was in Washington. They loaded up on running backs, had tight ends trying to play wide receiver or slow two small wide outs, and he never got a break. Now, I watched Jason Campbell at Auburn, and I think at Auburn he was handcuffed a lot. You on that team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they handcuff him in college. They handcuff him in the pros. And then, you know, they'll turn the franchise over. And, I mean, it's just, to me, it's league-wide. And like I said, my perfect example is Donovan McNabb, top five quarterback in the league, gets traded for a guy who threw for 400 yards once, who came in and mopped up duty or started two games, three games because he was hurt. And now you got Michael Vick behind him. Who's a better quarterback now? Michael Vick is better. He would move that team. He would win more games with Philly than Cobb. But they're not going to pull Cobb.
Yeah. Now, hold on. I got a call on the line. JP, Jeremy Patterson out there in ATL / 10 Alabama. I know he want to chime in on this. I know he's ready to talk about this because we talk about this all the time, about just different things in general when it comes to the African-American quarterback. JP, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you have to say about this whole situation? You hear Ron Mack on here, and he thinks...
Yeah, I hear Ron Mack. I kind of agree, but I disagree, too. You got to look at it from a different angle. I mean, you got to win. I think, you know, as brothers, you can say, well, you know, your boy Donovan McNabb, you know, he got in the Super Bowl, he messed around and lost. I mean, you got to produce. It's all about wins. I don't really think it's about a black and white thing or a Jason Campbell thing. You got to win. But I don't think sometimes franchises give our guys, you know, as African-American quarterbacks, the right tools to win. But still, we got to be overcomers and we got to win. I mean, I think it's all about wins and losses.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that wins and losses type of deal as well. But what I did want to say is regardless of the race, I just think that I guess the people in the media, you know, radio talk, or whatnot, kind of put the title on the player ahead of time. So, for example, somebody like Mark Sanchez or Jay Cutler, they could throw 25 interceptions, and they're still like, well, this guy is a great quarterback. But Jason Campbell throws 16 interceptions, and they're trying to kick him out the door. So do you want somebody that throws for 4,000 yards and throws 25 interceptions and 20 touchdowns? Or would do you want a Jason Campbell that throws for 3,000 yards, maybe 18 touchdowns and maybe 10 interceptions? It's like they put the title on the player ahead of time, regardless of the race, is how I kind of look at it. So the way Donovan McNabb produced, regardless, he's taking his team to a bunch of NFC championships and Super Bowl and loss. But then you have somebody like Kerry Collins. Yeah, he went to one Super Bowl, and he's produced – but he was still starting the league for a long time, and he's nowhere near as good of a quarterback as Donovan McNabb. So I don't want to say it's the race as much as it is who we tab to be that guy, like Mark Sanchez. They tab Mark Sanchez, and they're tagging the Jets to go to the Super Bowl when he threw 20 interceptions last year as a rookie and didn't really do anything. His team did win, but he wasn't a Peyton Manning or he wasn't a Drew Brees. But they tag him as that. And he had a good game this weekend, but they're tagging Mark Sanchez right now. And he'll probably get a lot more time than, say, if it was a Travaris Jackson coming from Alabama State and not USC, and he threw 20 picks. They would be like, well, not just because he's black, but they're just like, Travaris, I don't know if he can, you know, lead this team, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. But if it was Mark Sanchez, he would still be in there, throwing the interceptions and being like, this is our guy, he can lead the franchise. So I don't think it's more so race as who's they tab that guy. Like for example, Cameron Newton. He's an African-American quarterback at Auburn. They're tabbing Cameron Newton right now. He's that guy. So even if he doesn't have an up-to-par game, the fans love him. We love him at Auburn. So he's tabbed that guy. It's kind of how I look at it. So it's kind of tough to bring race into it, but that could be a factor at times. But I don't really know.
Well, I think it's easier to tap a guy, an African American quarterback in college than it is in NFL, because there's money involved, man. This is my opinion.
Yeah. Ron, Matt, you still online?
I'm still on. When I say this, I'm gonna be done. Now,
I want to hear this because different people have different assessments.
I would be the first person to admit that majority of African American quarterbacks have lived their life and not prepared as much, have gotten by on their athletic ability alone. And in the NFL, that doesn't cut it. Mm-hmm. And that's what has been so good about what has happened with Michael Vick. Michael Vick
got with somebody in Donovan McNabb who understood the importance of film work, taking care of your body, all of the good things that people look for, the top of the line things that, okay, we're going to tap him as a top of the line quarterback. This is what he do. He study film. He go to Arizona. He bring his receivers out. So Michael Vick then picked up some study habits to go along with his ability. And like I said before, Andy Reid is a quarterback guy. So now do I honestly think, I'm from Montgomery, and I know Tavares Jackson personally. I've known him since he was in high school. Mm-hmm. Do I think Tavares Jackson is putting in the work that it really takes for him to be the best quarterback he can be? I don't think so. He may be not. He's gotten by his entire life off his athleticism and his ability to throw the ball through a brick wall. Okay. But even with that being said, when quarterbacks hit the league, first round, second round pick, like right now, they got the kid from Notre Dame. Notre Dame's quarterback last year, Clemson. At Carolina. He finna start, okay? And they pushing Tebow. They push Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart is the Heisman Trophy, next best thing. He was a weak-arm quarterback at USC who was surrounded by Reggie Bush and Mike Williams and all the talent in the world and a line that didn't allow him to get touched. Okay, so now he's in the league. If Matt Leinart was a black quarterback, it'd be like Jamarcus Russell. Is that to me? Jamarcus Russell got a little trouble going on, but to me, Jamarcus Russell and Matt Leinart are the same kind of guy. They first round bust, okay? But Matt Leinart is now a backup with the Houston Texans. When Jamarcus Russell don't have a job,
what you say about that, Jeremy? What you kind of think about that? That makes a lot of sense. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, like you said, has been in some trouble and whatnot, but on a situation like that, I want you to kind of chime in on that.
Well, I agree with Jerron Mack on that. You can't look; it's obvious. I mean, you try to avoid that, but when you make it out to that point, it's obvious. And I don't know what we can do to change that as far as the world goes today, but we as African-American, especially as an African-American quarterback, he has to go the extra mile. He has to do the film work. He probably has to do the extra conditioning. He has to do the extra mental work. He has to probably, win all the players over to make sure that, everybody knows he's going to be the leader of the team. And I kind of agree with Sharon going back to Vic. Maybe that's why he's not the starting guy now, because he's got to win everybody over in the locker room first. And once he does that, I think, being a quarterback is more than just having a talent. You got to be the leader of the team, the offense and the defense.
Yeah. And I think with Cobb, if Cobb doesn't come out there and is stellar and he just does his thing, it's going to be hard because from, like I said, the six quarters that Michael Vick has played, his offense moved the ball. They scored points. So it will be almost obvious if Cobb comes back and he's doing all right and Vick's did his thing for those six quarters that he got to play and as a starter, and it's that obvious, it's going to be real difficult to kind of. But we're going to go to break. We're going to come back and finish up and talk a little bit more about this situation.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice of America Sports.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. On the Voice America Sports Channel. You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we're talking about African-American quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I want to switch it to college. We do talk about Auburn a lot on this show. But I got a special guest in Marvin Boogie Brown, former Alabama fullback / linebacker. And the time he was up in Alabama, he played with Andrew Zau, which is an African-American quarterback, and Tyler Watts. And there was kind of a whole situation. One would play, one wouldn't, and all this. And he called in to chime in about just the whole situation since we were talking about African-American quarterbacks. What's going on, Boog?
What's going on?
You all right, man?
What I wanted to tell y'all was that at Bama, as a freshman, Tyler Watts came in the same freshman class as I did, you know, and he was the next Peyton Manning, and that's who Tyler Watts was supposed to be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And getting there, when I got there as a freshman, Tyler didn't play as much or whatever. Tyler didn't even redshirt that freshman year. Now, our sophomore year, we won the SEC, you remember?
Yeah.
Zau was our quarterback that year. Zau got off that year, right?
Zau. That's African-American, Zau.
Right. Zau, the black guy. Okay. The thing was that we got off that year. That next year we came back, we went 3-8. The last year, Dubose was there. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
That whole year, though, we rotated in and out, Zau and Tyler Watts. Now, the first thing I wanted to begin with was take it back a little bit was that Tyler Watts wasn't on scholarship as a player at Alabama. His father is head of some kind of insurance company, you know what I mean, and said that he'll pay for Tyler's school to give a scholarship to another athlete so we can get another athlete in the school on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing is that once somebody, a family or a friend of the program, do something like that for a program in Alabama, ain't too many black parents doing that.
No.
I don't think it's any period.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like once that whole situation went down, it was already understood that Tyler Watts got to play.
Got to play.
He got to play. His dad ain't going to put no 100 grand in and just pay that, and his son going to sit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. You got to play.
That put him like, you know, he is true. He a true friend of the program. You know what time it is.
Yeah. And with that being said, with the talent-wise, was Zau just that much better, or was it almost equal to the point? Was it obvious, kind of? Like I was saying earlier, if Michael Vick was out there.
Zal would throw for 300. Tyler could run a little bit, but he wasn't really just the athlete. His arm wasn't that strong. Zal could throw for 300, but Zal couldn't run. Not for real.
Yeah.
But now Tyler could run a little bit, and he might get 80 yards rushing and have 140 yards passing. Well, Zal had 300 yards passing, and it's nothing with one pick. Why are they still rotating? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so was it obvious amongst the players that Zal should have been the quarterback pretty much the whole time he was at Alabama?
Yeah, it was obvious.
Well,
okay. Nobody really made no big deal about it because you know what that means, but it was obvious.
Yeah, because we're always wondering. Obviously, I know you guys kind of ran that little option, and Zal couldn't run as much.
Right.
But he was a good quarterback. He was a good quarterback. We got another caller in, Junior Rosegreen, down there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Junior, what's your assessment? I know you've been listening to us about talking about the African-American quarterback. What's your assessment just in general about the whole situation and about how the African-American quarterbacks are in the National Football League or even college?
Well, basically, I just think, you know, even with the – I'm going to touch up on the little Vic situation. People don't know Vic would be – Hall of Famer. He would be the best quarterback in the national collegiate level. Just because, you know, things that he used to do in 02, he'll run first and pass second.
Mm-hmm.
In this game when they beat Detroit, you can see the change that when they get him out the pocket, his eyes are still down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he drawing people to him, and he's making 40, 50-yard throws. And I can tell Vic is studying the game now.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell just by his play.
Yeah.
See, a lot of black quarterbacks, they go off raw talent. Like Vince Young, he don't study the game. Because if he studied the game, you know, he an athlete, he can run, and he can't throw.
Okay, so with that being said, I know Ron Mack was saying it has a lot to do with them being African-American. Do you think it has a lot to do with them being African-American, or the African-American, say, as a Javaris Jackson or Vince Young or Jason Campbell or Jamarcus Russell, not studying the game?
I just think it's – it's not studying the game because right now it's open for everybody. You understand? Black, white, Mexican, purple, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just, if you study the game, man, the film don't lie. The eye and the sky don't lie. So if the quarterback that was the starting quarterback for Philadelphia Eagles, if he come back and start, Vic ain't worried because somebody else going to want to trade for him.
Yeah.
You understand? So, basically, if you study the game, man, black, white, just like I said, black, white, Puerto Rican, whatever, you're going to make it happen. You're going to do what you do. If you got talent and you love the game and you study it, the best always come out on top when they know. When they know their opponent.
But back to what Ron Mack was saying. Now the Donovan McNabb situation, that's kind of I don't know how you trade Donovan McNabb. I don't know if it's because he was African American. I don't want to say it's because he was African American. I don't know what they're thinking, but that was a dumb trade. That was a dumb trade. African American, like you said, African American, Puerto Rican, white, purple, all that. That was a dumb trade. So I don't understand that. I don't know if it had to do with his race or if he didn't win games or if he was injured. I don't know, but that was a dumb trade. If he was white, black, Puerto Rican, it didn't matter. If he was playing the way he's played for Philly all those years and they traded him, that would have been dumb.
And you're right, Jim, that is dumb. But to be honest with you, they took his career to another level because Donovan McNabb lost weight. He feels younger. In Washington, because the coaching staff believe in him.
So Ron Mack, you on the song, Ron Mack?
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah. So with that being said, you just pretty much think they have a shorter leash. They don't have as much time.
That's what I'm saying. As a rookie, I mean, I know Sam Bradford is biracial. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Sam Bradford hit the door, started. You know, mm-hmm. with most of your black quarterbacks, they want to give them, you know, they call it, I call it the training wheel time, where you're going to stand over here and you're going to hold this clipboard and we're going to slow feed you this system. We're going to
We run out of time, but next week we're going to start off on this. Everybody that's on the line, we're going to start off with this. We're going to be back with keeping it real. We're going to keep it real. At 10 a.m., I'll get at you next week.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jerris McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.